Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. And that term, challenging, has taken on a new meaning here in the last few months. Hi, my name is Dennis, and I am here with you with Rick. And we are about ready to start our New Year's Day program, the first program of Spirit of Truth on the first day of the new year. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us. We encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SCM, where you will find lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and others of us who have done some writing. You will see a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, and we highly recommend that you read that as a primer for what it is that you will be hearing on our programs. Today we will be continuing with what we have been, what actually started on August 14, 2020. And if you haven't heard any of this, you will be truly amazed and maybe even stunned, because it turns out that biblical prophecy, the prophecies, a prophecy in Revelation, specifically Revelation 10, have a direct bearing on what we are seeing as a function of this last election and the controversy that is going on between the dark side and the light side. So let us have prayer, and we'll get started with our program. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, grant us a joyous and peaceful day, a joyous and peaceful new year, where we can truly understand and come to know what it was that Jesus did for us, what it was that God the Father has done through the prophecies that have listed themselves in the Bible. And I pray, Father, that as we move forward in our learning, that you will be here with us in spirit and truth. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Rick. How are you doing on this fine, joyous yar?
New Year's, or thoughts on the new year. First of all, any of you who have been following along with us over the last, well, I'll say 10 years, although it's been...
Would you mind if I greeted Don?
Oh, go ahead.
Good morning, Don.
Happy New Year to everybody. It's a gorgeous day.
Happy New Year, Don.
I'll be listening with great fervor. So I'll see you.
Wonderful.
My wife likes to enjoy the holiday. And, of course, the way you enjoy, celebrate the holiday on New Year is stay up until midnight. So
Becky stayed up till 9:30, and I got to bed at 10:30 last night. Now, mind you, we were awakened rudely at 11:59 with fireworks, gunshots, and all that that take place in the town in which we live here. Surprisingly, they only lasted about 20 minutes. And it did make our dog a little bit nervous. the cats, ho-hum, you know, it's no big deal. And so...
Not their first rodeo.
We were up and then down again with no ill effect and feeling pretty good this morning, actually. And it was nice having you here for breakfast, Rick, and having a little bit of mimosa and some waffles with berries on them and all that. So what a great way to start the new year.
Yeah, and I expect that this year, and incidentally, the new year that God set up was the spring equinox. So God's new year will be a different start date than the new year that we in the quote-unquote Western world celebrate. The Chinese celebrate the new year on a different day because they use a lunar year. But the last year was a very trying, very disturbing year. It seems like the abyss was opened and the demonic horde has been unleashed on the earth.
Yeah, we got a peek at it anyway.
In Deuteronomy chapter 13, starting with verse 1, or that's in the Jerusalem Bible. In the other Bible, it is verse 30, it looks like. Deuteronomy 13. All I command you, you must keep and observe, adding nothing to it, taking nothing away.
I'm getting my wife some more teas. That's why I'm bustling in the background. But Rick, to what prophecy does that comment that God made, that instruction that he made, to what prophecy does it apply?
Well, I don't know that it applies to a specific prophecy, but it applies to everything that God has stipulated.
You see, it doesn't apply to just one. It applies to all.
Yes.
And you
That's
see,
what I'm saying.
And what we see is many people believe that they can exclude certain prophecies or parts of prophecies because it doesn't fit a paradigm that they have. And we grew up in a religious community that was very common.
Yes. It is the last two specifics of this opening statement that people tend to ignore. Adding nothing to it, taking nothing away. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and offers to do a sign or a wonder for you, and the sign or wonder comes about. And if he then says to you, come, let us follow other gods whom you have not known. Now, I'm sure that no prophet is going to come right out and say, look, I have been given certain information that this God is the true God and not that God. For all that a God really relies upon is information. Information that is true or, in the case of the ruler of the world, information that is a lie. So, what this statement in Deuteronomy is saying, God says, what I have spoken, don't add anything to it. And don't take anything away. You leave it as it is, for I have spoken.
In other words, leave it alone.
So then this dreamer of dreams, or this prophet, says, come, let us follow other gods whom you have not known and serve them. You are not to listen to the words of that prophet or to the dreams of that dreamer. Yahweh, your God, is testing you to know if you love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and all your soul. Yahweh your God you shall follow, him you shall fear, his commandments you shall keep, his voice you shall obey, him shall you serve, to him shall you cling. One thing I want to make clear is the way we are to understand that specific admonition and the commands contained in it. A prophecy is not a command, it's a revelation of the future. What God is talking about in that statement in Deuteronomy was prophecy is a revelation of, and there will be prophets that will prophesy events that may come true. But God allows that to test your soul, to test whom you want to serve, whom you choose to serve. Let's say there are prophets that, well, for instance, there's been quite a few prophets lately, in the last few years. One very accurate person, Kim Clement. Now, Kim Clement, I believe, is honestly working on serving God. He wasn't trying to mislead people, because Kim Clement had been instructed in a theology, in a religious, spiritual practice common to the world of Christianity. He was not purposefully trying to mislead any more than any other spiritual leader in Christianity is purposefully trying to mislead. Israel, the children of Israel, they started out from a different beginning, per se. They had lived for four generations in Egypt. By the time God contacted Moses and told him to tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrews go, the Hebrews at best had only a vague idea of the God of their fathers, at best. They were practicing the worship and service of the gods of Egypt, who were insurrectionist spiritual beings with a long history of teaching a history that was deeply flawed. It accurately described certain things in history, but purposefully omitted certain things or added certain things to it to make it fit their narrative. The same thing is happening today. And particularly happened all through the year 2020 at a very high degree. Why? What was different about last year? Well, this is what the difference is, as I see it. The deep state globalist cabal, New World Order leadership, knew that 2020, they needed to gain control of all the nations on earth, or their whole globalist plan would disappear. If you want to know what the globalist plan was, you read Revelation. Read Revelation chapter 7, 8, and 9. 11. Thirteen, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Those chapters in Revelation describe very clearly what the globalist plan was.
And that plan is death and destruction.
Now, if I say that that plan will not come about, you say, well, Rick, aren't you then taking away?
You know, that would be true, Rick, if there wasn't another prophecy that defines the difference.
Verse 18 of Revelation 22. This is my solemn warning to all who hear the prophecies in this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him every plague mentioned in the book. If anyone cuts anything out of the prophecies in this book, God will cut off his share of the tree of life and of the holy city, which are described in this book.
So, Rick, hasn't it been for years that people have ignored what you have been talking about since August 14? They've been ignoring it for thousands of years. They have essentially ignored it to the place where it's been removed from any prophetic discussion.
Read. This is a text I think most Christians know, or at least have heard. It's a text that many Christian pastors have used in their sermons. It's found in Jeremiah 29. The Jeremiah chapter 29 is a very important prophecy of Jeremiah, a prophecy that God gave him. We're particularly going to focus on verse 11, but I'm going to start with verse 4. Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 4. Yahweh Sabaoth, the God of Israel, says this to all the exiles deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Choose wives for your sons, find husbands for your daughters, so that these can bear sons and daughters in their turn. You must increase there and not decrease. Work for the good of the country to which I have exiled you. Pray to Yahweh on its behalf. I'm going to read that one more time, just that last part. Pray to Yahweh on its, the country in which you are captives, on its behalf, since on its welfare yours depends. For Yahweh says this, only when the 70 years granted to Babylon are over, will I visit you and fulfill my promise in your favor by bringing you back to this place. Now, here it is. I know the plans I have in mind for you. It is Yahweh who speaks. Plans for peace, not disaster. Reserving a future full of hope for you. Then when you call me and come to plead with me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you shall find me. When you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me. It is Yahweh who speaks. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have dispersed you. It is Yahweh who speaks. I will bring you back to the place from which I exiled you. Where are we right now? Now, you say, well, we're, you know, we, Dennis, you and I, are in the United States. We have listeners, though, in other countries of the world. So where are we spiritually? Because when I read, God is giving Jeremiah this information. When I read that, what I understand is God is talking about the importance of where you are spiritually and not physically. They were not in the promised land, but what did he tell them?
To live as if they were.
To live as if they were. Just to keep right on living as he had commanded them to live in the promised land, even if they were living in a country that was not their own, as exiles. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 starts out with two spiritual beings. These spiritual beings had appeared to John in the heavens. One, a woman, adorned with the sun, standing on the moon, and had 12 stars on her head for a crown. And she was pregnant and about to give birth. Then a second sign appeared in the sky, a huge red dragon, which had 7 heads, 10 horns, and each of the 7 heads crowned with a coronet. This hit its tail, dragged a third of the stars from the sky and dropped them to the earth. And the dragon stopped in front of the woman as she was having the child, so that he could eat it as soon as it was born from its mother. What does all this mean? Now you say, well, Rick, it's in Revelation 12. It's in Revelation. So is this a life road or a death road? Revelation 12 is interesting because I think it doesn't fully commit to either road. What we see here is this woman. And I think it's important to understand the representation of this woman. Because the woman is integral to the whole process. Without the woman, we would have nothing. Without the woman, we would have no chance. Without the woman, there would not be truth on the earth. For the woman is the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. She is the promised one that the Son of God promised to send to us, his disciples, when he returned to the Father. She is incredible. Because not only does she teach the righteous ones, not the ones who start out righteous, but the ones who are seeking righteousness, the ones who want to enter the kingdom, she is the one who will teach them and show them the way to the kingdom, which is what the teaching accomplishes. She is not leading a people to a geographic location on earth, such as the quote-unquote Holy Land. When she gives birth, her firstborn is a male child. And we are told that the Son, who was to rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Now, ruling all the nations, what does that describe? What does that imply? What does that mean? How are we to understand? He was to rule all nations with an iron scepter. And the child was taken straight up to God and to his throne, while the woman escaped into the wilderness. Escaped into the wilderness. Where God had made a place of safety ready for her to be looked after in the 1260 days. Now, before we go on, I'm going to make an observation. An observation that I think is true and accurate. This place that God had prepared for the woman, where is it?
Well, Rick, you have, hang on, you have said many times that the kingdom of heaven is not a place, it's a people. And when that people understand where they are, they understand where the kingdom is.
But this place that was prepared in the wilderness for the woman was prepared for the woman. And what was the woman's purpose? Now, I've already said this woman is the Holy Spirit. What was the purpose of this woman to stay here after she had given birth and her son had been taken up to God and to his throne? She escaped into the wilderness to a place that was prepared for her. That's not a spiritual place. That's a physical place. And it's a physical place that was prepared for her so that she could do her work out of the dragon's reach. Maybe that place might be the United States of America.
Very probably.
Now, I'm not saying that the United States is the promised land. What I'm saying, because God says it was a place prepared in the wilderness. What is the wilderness? The wilderness is the domain of the dragon. The dragon has control of the wilderness. God has control of the place of his kingdom. But what I'm seeing here is, like Israel in Egypt, God kept his people in Egypt until when?
Till it was time for them to come out.
Till it was time for them to come out. And when, what does God tell Moses about why it was now time? And it wasn't time earlier, but it was now the time.
Because the people of the land where they were going had filled the cup of iniquity.
But that's not the case today, is it?
No, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
Why do you think that is? I'll give you a hint, Dennis, and our listeners who hopefully are sitting on the edge of their chair wondering what it is. I heard a statement made by someone who would know that the United States of America, the people, you know, the United States of America is just a name for the geographic area, but the people of the United States have, what are they, hung on to three things very dearly. They've hung on to their God, to their family, and to their guns. The United States of America has a very important a motto or a statement of purpose. That is, one nation under God. It was established constitutionally, and the Constitution is actually what has saved this nation up to now. No other country in the world has a constitution. Those words came from Nigel Farage as he was addressing the EU. The United States has a constitution that has not allowed a takeover by the globalists. It is the reason that the people of the United States have the determination that they have. The people of the United States worship God. The place prepared for the woman in the wilderness, I believe, was the United States of America.
And you know, Rick, this is an interesting concept, because there is a church that believes that the United States is in prophecy, but they look at it from a different location. And that location doesn't make any sense. You see, they're looking at it from a standpoint, they were trying to find an identity. You know, for instance, they said that the United States came out of the world in a time of peace.
Peace had a peaceful rising up.
Yeah, peaceful rising up, which is totally wrong. We've had wars after wars, and we started with a war, and we've had to slaughter
Native Americans.
From time to time, we've had to defend this Constitution with war.
I'm going to read something to you, Dennis, and you've heard this. Everybody who's listened to us, I'm sure, has heard this many, many, many times. Matthew 25, starting with verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of the heavens will be like this. 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That opening statement is very revealing about these people who are represented as bridesmaids. For the king of the kingdom of the heavens and the kingdom of God calls these people the kingdom of the heavens. Now, the kingdom of the heavens, how did they come to be that? I mean, because what he's talking about here, what the king, the Messiah, the anointed one, is talking about here to his disciples, is these are a people called out, just like the Hebrews were called out of Egypt at a certain time, at a date in time, and so were these people. And what country did this coming out occur in?
The United States of America.
Now, it spread to other countries, but it originated in the United States of America. Just before that, in this prophecy given by the king, the Messiah, when he says, so stay awake because you do not know the day in which your master is coming. You may be quite sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the burglar would come, he would have stayed awake and would not have allowed anyone to break through the wall of his house. Therefore, you too must stand ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, where do you think the master's house is? If the kingdom, his kingdom, the kingdom of the heavens, started out in the United States of America, where do you think this head of the house would be?
In the United States of America.
And if this individual who has been placed over the others in the household of the king remained faithful, was trustworthy, and was wise enough to know do you think he would know at a certain time about the future of the world?
It would make sense that he would.
So what I'm saying is, the woman that is clothed with the light of the sun has a crown of 12 stars on her head. The 12 stars are represented as the kingdom of God, the 12 tribes of Israel. And she stayed here after she gave birth.
And Rick, you would wonder, since the founding of the United States of America, even including the changeover from the Republic to the Corporation, and now back, which is what we are experiencing right now, during that time, this nation where the Holy Spirit has been sent to do her work has rescued the world time and time and time again. And in such a way that there could be no reasonable explanation other than the fact that it has been the Holy Spirit doing it. Do you realize that the United States defeated the greatest military power in the entire world in order to gain its freedom?
And why do you think that is?
It couldn't have happened. I mean, look at the generals of Britain who were over here and wondered why they couldn't get a toehold.
Who ultimately was trying to prevent the United States from becoming the nation that it is today?
Of course, Satan.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Because
do you think he knew something about the prophecy of Revelation 12? And
I would imagine that he did.
John 14 starting with verse 24, pay particular attention to verse 26. Those who do not love me do not keep my words. Now remember, when you read that part of the verse, remember, those who do not love me do not keep my words. Remember what I read in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 and 2. Add nothing to it, take nothing away. So the standard of truth are the words of the Son of God, and we are not to change them, remove them, or add to them in any way at any time. And my word is not my own. It is the word of the one who sent me. I have said these things to you while still with you. But, and here is probably the most important, most profound statement that the Son of God ever made, and that's really saying something. But the reason I say it's probably the most important, most profound statement he ever made is because it directly applies to the end of time when he returns. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, and let me put here parenthetically, the woman described in Revelation 12. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. And that is A-L-L, not some, not most, not like, not sort of.
And bring to your remembrance. That implies that you've already heard it.
And who's bringing it to your remembrance? Not the disciples.
No.
Who's bringing it to your remembrance?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Which means this has been done pretty much on your own.
So if the Holy Spirit is the one who gives birth to those children of the kingdom, where do you think it starts? Where the woman is, or where the woman, the place that was prepared for the woman, or somewhere else?
You know, again, that's a rhetorical question asked and answered. It answers itself. The Holy Spirit, wherever the Holy Spirit was at the time, is where that starts. And that is the United States of America.
John chapter 3, starting with, let's start with verse 1. There was one of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a leading Jew, who came to Jesus by night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the signs that you do unless God were with him." Jesus answered, "I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a grown man be born? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, Unless a man is born through water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised when I say you must be born from above. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. That is how it is with all who are born of the Spirit. I see what is happening right now. Is the dragon is spewing water out of his mouth like a flood. The earth has opened its mouth to swallow the flood. He was attempting to sweep the woman away with the flood. But the earth came to her
rescue.
When I started with Revelation chapter 12, and it will probably be where we end today, we can take this up tomorrow a little bit more. When the dragon stopped in front of the woman as she was having the child so that he could eat him as soon as he was born from its mother, the woman brought a male child into the world, the son who was to rule all the nations with an iron scepter.
Just a comment about nations. One of the reasons why we know that Revelation 13, the time for Revelation 13 is past, is because we do not have a one world government. We still have nations.
Well, they're trying to force it.
They're trying to force it.
But it isn't going to happen.
But it will not happen.
And just this last thing, we have a couple minutes, right, Dennis? In Daniel chapter 2, the stone struck the image at its feet, and the iron and the earthenware, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all broke into small pieces as fine as chaff on the threshing floor in summer. And the wind blew them all away, leaving not a trace behind. And the stone that had struck the statue grew into a great mountain, filling the whole earth. That is what is about to happen.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. This is an important study. We highly recommend that you talk to your friends and your neighbors and have them join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time right here on blogtalkradio.com/SOT for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We encourage you to go to our Blog Talk Radio website to the episode page. And there you can download the first two programs that concern this topic. That is the Christmas Day Best of Show and the day after on that Friday and that Saturday. We encourage you to listen to those programs. That will give you a background as to what we are doing. We also encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SM, where you will find lots and lots of good writing. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy New Year's Day, a blessed new year, and we will see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks for joining us.